GoFundMe.com/CAGBDay2016. CAGGBDay2016.
We spread the Comedia a go-go gospel. Drink the Kool-Aid, guys. Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Go-Go's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are happy campers this week. We've been gone for a few, but we're happy campers this week to be talking about what today, Regan?
Topic number one, what is your favorite acting role by an athlete? It can be large, small, or just a cameo. Topic number two, tell us about the first time you made it onto the news, the newspaper, or the radio. And topic number three, tell us about a time that you were terrified by an insect.
And we are pleased as punch to have on the podcast for the first time Comedia a Go-Go Get the Hell Out premier sponsor T-Bone, yeah. Owner and proprietor of the Urban Beardster. T-Bone, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, thank you. Now, dude, you hooked me up, and you keep thanking me, but you shouldn't. By asking me to host the beard contest that we had at Alamo City Comic Con. You guys had a booth. You guys asked me to host. I got into the Comic Con for free. It was the tits. It was awesome.
We've already got the booth for 2016.
So. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Nice. Halloween weekend.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
So speaking of Halloween, you guys got a booth for the Terror Expo.
Yep.
And I'm going to be hosting a beard contest for Scariest Beard. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going to happen?
Well, we go on right after Elvira.
Yeah.
On the main stage.
Mistress of the tits.
And we're
dark. Dark.
And it's what is it called? I kind of did a respectful nod to the mistress of the dark.
The dark.
Yeah. And it's called,
I thought it was a diss, by the way.
And like the disrespectful nod.
If she doesn't judge, she's mistress of the tits.
It's called El Barba.
Yeah.
I'm saying that like a white guy.
El Barba.
Beards of the Dark.
Nice. Yeah.
So, and it's open to men and women. So
I haven't talked to you about it yet, and we're just going to use a podcast for me to ask these questions. What are we looking for? What are the judges going to be?
I have no idea.
All right.
No, that's up to the judges.
Right on. Because my beard's fucking scary right now, because your beard's nice, and it's trimmed and not trimmed as in short, just kind of
We are all bearded. For those of you listening,
I look like Cookie from the Bozo Show.
For those of you listening, we are all bearded men. There are four bearded men.
We're real men.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I will be shaving this weekend, probably though.
So. Like for the beard contest?
No, just to shave.
Now, how long did it take you to grow that soup sopper?
For this length, about 7 months, but I've had it for, I guess, a year and a half.
When was the last time you were clean shaven?
June of 2014.
What made you decide, I'm going to grow a beard?
Bucket list.
Yeah.
Well, I tried once when I was like 17 and it looked like shit. And then,
I mean, dude, you're 17.
Yeah. And that's, it. Was it nice to like when you, in 2014, you're like, I'm going to start growing it, and then you grew it and you're like, I can grow a beard.
Yeah,
this is a good looking beard I got going.
6 months of looking in the mirror, not recognizing myself, and then I started dreaming with a beard.
Ooh,
so
that's how you know, like in the movie The Matrix, it becomes your like residual self. Like when you plug you in the Matrix, you'd have a beard in the Matrix.
Exactly. So then, if you were to die and go to heaven or hell, would it be you with a beard?
Now,
with a harp.
I think that's what
that's his identity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for assuming I didn't go up.
Well, I said or hell, but you can play a harp in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be awesome. Zeppelin, probably, fucking drop D. Fucking put a
metal harp, bro.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Death harp. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Norwegian death harp.
Dude, let's fucking make a electric harp. Do they exist?
I'm sure they do. I'm almost positive.
And then we can put a fucking distortion on there.
Nice.
I'm googling that as soon as I get off Periscope.
Larry's useless without his phone.
I am. I feel weird, man. I'm just playing with my dick. So
there we go.
No, I mean it's in my. All right.
Yeah.
So how? All right. Urban Beardster. How long have you ran that company?
January 2015 was our official
Yeah.
Debut.
Well, happy anniversary.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
That's awesome. What made you say, you know, beard oils, waxes, so, African soap?
I was growing the beard, and I didn't want to pay a lot for the oil to put in it, I started making my own.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And nice. I've worked with essential oils for years for different things. Yeah,
like
I had family that was in, like, hippies and, you know.
Oh, nice. Cool. All right.
So yeah. Mostly
so patchouli.
Like, yeah.
That's one of them. Lots of patchouli, right?
Yeah.
And it just, you know, seemed like a natural progression. Like, I'm not gonna. There's a lot of good makers of beard oil.
Sure, yeah.
But I just decided to make my own. And
if you can, right?
Yeah. And I started sharing it with some people. You know, they hear you make your own, and those good?
Those are great.
Jess is jamming sweet tongue.
Jess is candy.
You sound fucking awesome.
I'm just getting down on this candy. I'm sorry.
You don't mind if I finish? Oh, yeah. It's right. So,
anyway.
Some people start.
Go ahead. Later, man.
Some of the less loud snacks we normally eat, actually.
So people are like, you make your own, hook it up. Right?
Yeah, That's what it is. I started letting them try it, and somebody said, hey, why don't you know, start selling it?
So what are some of the advantages to using oil in your beard?
Well, it's good for the skin, which is just as important as the hair itself. It just keep different oils have different therapeutic properties. Mm-hmm. So some of them are last a long time on the follicles. Some of them get absorbed really quickly into the skin.
What is your oil of choice?
It's a blend of about 15 different oils.
Oh, so dang.
The KFC of beard oils.
Nice. So do you have
herbs and spices?
And actually, all the ingredients, I kind of open source. I don't give the recipe, but I list them all on the website. So I like people to know what they're getting.
Yeah, I like it. So if it's the KFC of beard oils, do you have a bowl? Do you have a beard bowl?
A beard bowl?
Yeah, I just ate a KFC bowl today.
Wow!
And I forgot how fucking awesome
that
is. A lot of people talk shit about
the KFC
bowl.
The mashed potatoes and the corn.
Where it seemed like it was like, that's not going to last. Now it's permanent menu.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
That's a staple.
Dude. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
The research and development guys are super happy about that.
Yeah. And it's probably just like...
The double down, not so much.
Yeah. There's guys that just test that out, and they're just praying, like, when they strike gold with, like, the Doritos Loco Taco is one of those ones that they just comes out and boom, it sticks. It'll never leave the
menu. Do they still have them?
Yes. Yeah. It'll never leave the menu.
Oh, that's so good.
Man, I can't wait to KFC starts breakfast.
They don't have breakfast.
You know what's so funny is my wife was saying, because we had KFC today, and we haven't had KFC in years.
Right.
And she was like, my dad used to get the biscuits for breakfast, and I don't ever remember them serving breakfast. I was like, yeah, he probably intimidated them and just made them give them biscuits in the morning.
Like, we're not open till noon. I want biscuits.
Okay.
Give me a fucking biscuit.
Yeah. Sorry. So, oil. What kind of oil do you use to fry chicken?
It's not the same.
So what kind of different products do you have besides? Because I use, I get paid in beard oil, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
You know? And I got to choose, speaking of chicken, lemon pepper herb. Lemon?
Grove?
Lemon Grove.
So you're calling it lemon pepper?
Lemon pepper.
No, the reason why I do is because that's what my daughter said. She goes, you smell like chicken. Because we always based our chicken in lemon pepper. And I go, do I smell bad? She goes, no, you smell great. Like, she loved it, but that was the first thing she went to was chicken. But I loved it. And you know what? It does help a lot. Beard dandruff.
Oh, yeah.
It helps prevent it. Like,
that's a thing.
Dude, it's a thing.
Yeah.
I have it bad.
It usually comes from people using soap and shampoo to clean.
Oh, maybe that's why I skipped that step.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, I don't.
So just water?
What I do, because I don't really get my beard super dirty, but
I get
about
filthy,
once dude. A week I'll use that African black soap. I know that's racist, but...
No. Okay. That's kind of redundant. Can it just be freaking African soap? No. List out the products that you guys sell, because I know it's not just beard oil.
We've got the beard oil. We've got beard balm, which is basically the same oils, but with beeswax in it.
Mm-hmm. That's for the lips?
No, that's for the actual – that's for the beard. It just has – for people like Andy that's got a longer beard, they'll use a balm to kind of tame it a little more.
Keep it down.
Some people that ride.
Right.
They want it to stay. They don't want to get to the rally.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, mine's crazy. Okay, so beard balm.
Yeah, mustache wax.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lip balm. There's a scrub. Ladies like it just as much as the guys do because it's basically got different sea salts and cool shit in it.
Yeah. Can you make it all at home?
Yeah, yeah.
So scrub.
Yeah.
African black soap.
Yeah, African black soap I don't make.
Yeah, that's just what he uses.
Yeah. I buy it in big blocks and cut it.
Right. I mean, does it come in small blocks? I don't think it does.
Probably does, but
why is that even?
It's cost prohibitive. So.
See, I'm having a...
Buy it in bulk.
Yeah. I am having a business conversation
here. No, it's not so much a business conversation. It's like a healthcare.
Right. So when people use the African black soap, do they go back to the other soaps that they used before?
I haven't taken a poll, but
okay,
I didn't.
Good,
and I actually use it sometimes, you know, for full shower, everything, hair. It's pretty sweet.
That's awesome. I'm curious. I'll take it all.
I know you will.
I mean, if it's gonna get given to me, I might as well, right?
Right.
We've also got some cool shirts.
Yeah. Yeah, I love your logo. Your logo is the best.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I can't thank you enough for sponsoring the Get the Hell Out premiere. We really appreciate
awesome.
That.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it really was, and I did speak to the winners of the raffle that won the starter kit, and yeah, like the guy had a little beard. It's not little anymore. He said, "All right, this is a sign to go all in," and I was like, "Good for you, man." So. Yeah, no shit. I was like, we made a bearded brother.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm excited about Terror Expo. It's the first year they had it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what to expect.
They're expecting about the first year of Comic-Con,
which
was about 35,000.
Gee whiz. Dang.
And they're up to, this is their, what is it, fourth year? Going to be fourth or fifth? I think this will be the fourth.
Yeah, this year will be year four of Comic-Con, of the Alamo City Comic-Con. Yeah.
And they're expecting to break 100,000 this year.
So we got to have you on later so you could tell us how it went. But tell us a little bit about the Alamo City Comic Con. This was the first year you got a booth, right?
Yeah.
How was that experience?
It was a blast. My wife and I actually volunteered the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Being free.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of, we thought, let's sell there. I mean, and it's funny because the organizers actually said, why would you want to sell here? It's not even comic related. I'm like, do you know your
demographic
customers? Yeah.
Yeah, you know how many Lobos there are out there cosplaying?
Yeah. And it went even better than I expected. I mean, we filled that ballroom.
Yeah. We sure did. That was a
lot
of fun. I
didn't know. I was a little aware. I was like, if we get 10 people, I'll be happy.
That's what I was expecting. I was like, okay, beard contest at the Comic-Con, and now, man, we had a lot of friggin' entries, a packed ballroom, kids to adults.
Yeah.
I kept it clean.
Yeah,
really? Of course, as you should.
Yeah, you know.
For all beard events, you keep it clean, except for the actual
502.
They asked me, you know, dirty it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, fuck it, right, man?
Yes, that's all you say.
Right? Keep it clean. Fuck it, I'll keep it clean.
Yeah, it's a stretch.
It is. Especially with the African black soap.
Sopping wet.
Yes. So, dear T-Bone, we're so excited that you decided to be a guest with us on Public Access. And it's going to be a fun episode, and it's going to be even more fun at the Terror Expo.
And there's candy here if you want any, but I think I...
You're going to get that beard dirty today.
All right.
You're my friend.
Yeah. I hate how beards kind of rat you out when you eat. You can't hide that you've eaten food.
It's logistics.
And you're like, man, you're like, no, I didn't eat a donut earlier.
Yeah.
And you're like, you ate earlier. And I'm like, damn it, yeah.
Desserts. Or when I snagged a few fries from the bag before I got home.
Yep. Desserts, period.
Yeah, dude. Right? You're trying to sneak some food in before you get home.
Yeah, get a few fries. No. Oh, you ate some fries, didn't you?
Nope. Forget about theater nachos.
Anything with whipped cream?
Milk?
Yeah.
Eating cereal?
Thanks a lot, beard. You done ratted me out. Yeah. Everyone knows I ate that.
Thankfully,
donut.
Beer goes well with beard.
Have you had the beard yeast beer from Rogue?
No.
Yeah, it's the owner's beard yeast. They made beer out of it. Yeah, I have a bottle of it. And you know what it tastes like? Beer. Well, I had this one that was like made with like rose petals and stuff, and you know what it tastes like?
Beer.
Beer. It tastes like beer.
Pumpkin beer?
Yeah, I mean, it tastes like beer.
Sweet.
It tastes like beer that you drank from a glass that used to be a candle holder.
Do any of you guys...
Wait, what?
Beer that... Everything you drink that's flavored with something tastes like the leftover drink. Someone's leftover drink.
To Larry?
Yeah.
No, but what I said is the pumpkin beer tasted like you poured beer in a glass. That
like
used to
hold candle?
Yeah. That
was a pumpkin candle.
Yeah, so imagine pouring beer.
We're all out of glasses, bro. I don't care, man. I don't care.
Just pour it in. It's good. I'm bottling it up and selling it to hipsters.
Yeah. No, well, they got to actually make it, man.
I tried oyster beer. It was like a beer that was like just fermented sound with like oysters. No, it was
like
actually
oysters,
good.
I like beer.
But it actually tasted like beer.
Yeah. I've had like a Chipotle porter that was okay, but I don't think I'd want to drink it.
But did it taste what it tastes like?
Tastes like a porter with
why don't they make like some beer
was passing the Chipotle peppers and it
they had in there. I had a ghost faced killer, which had ghost the ghost pepper. The Serrano, have you had it?
No.
Oh, man, it tastes like...
Heartburn?
Somebody did one of those wing challenges and drank beer.
God damn it!
And
then they drank...
Bar menu, Gary.
No, they drank the beer and they had a beard and their hot wing sauce dipped in the beer and then I drank that beer.
That, and I was like, it's hot!
Man versus food!
Yeah. I was like, why doesn't anyone know the real name of the ghost pepper?
Oh, it's Thai. It's meant for elephants.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called.
Who cares?
It's meant for elephants.
Stop eating it.
It's meant to stop elephants from eating crops. That's what those
what, buffalo
for.
Wings?
No, ghost peppers.
Beer?
Hey, welcome back.
Anyway,
This beer tastes like it was genetically engineered to keep elephants away from crops. That's what this beer tastes like.
It's not meant... for taste, but you'd fucking jam on it, right?
Oh, I'd take a sip
of
for
what?
Sure.
Ghost no, pepper no, no, no. But would you do the ghost pepper wing challenge?
Oh no, that's dumb. I wouldn't.
Would you
do that?
Probably not. I've had curry that had ghost pepper in it, but it wasn't
soup.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it was like still taste. Essence.
It didn't make it not fun to
I had
eat.
Skin on my tongue left.
I had ghost pepper tortilla chips.
It's not the same.
And I was
probably
like,
not even real ghost peppers.
God, dear. It was like, totally real.
Those are apparition peppers,
bro. Popeye's ghost pepper wings. It's not... That's like...
Central Market ghost pepper.
Right. Once you throw Central Market in.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay.
Instant all right, instant.
Yeah, right. It's the real deal.
They ain't gonna lie. They ain't gonna lie. That's Central Market, baby. They ain't gonna lie. That's Gucci HB.
Stop eating ghost peppers! I'm yelling at the Periscope. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Ghost peppers are a lie.
By the ghost pepper ink.
The big ghost.
It's like when fucking Oprah said,
big
you know,
ghost pepper,
don't eat beef, and in beef attacked her. It's like, I didn't know that was a like a business. Was
she woke up
beef.
And there's a cow head in her bed.
Yeah, right. Right. Tom Cruise will not get that movie. Because he's perfect for it. Right. Anyway, it's a Godfather reference.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that they made the Godfather epic?
Yeah, it's on HBO. I need to record it, so.
Yeah, it's chronologically part one and part two, right? And it's what I love is that it's the Godfather epic.
Without three.
Without three.
Yeah.
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 No,
so it's because it was originally...
There's only two.
It was originally cut for VHS, like in the early 80s, and it was limited run, and they put it on TV like once that way, but this is the first time it's been...
Uncut...
Uninterrupted with commercials and with all with additional stuff.
With the prequels before the sequel?
With the prequel scenes before the sequel.
It was chronological, so it starts off with Bobby D.
It starts off with the prequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starts off with Bobby D.
The prequel
D.
that did in the sequel.
The sequel had a prequel in it.
The squeakquel had a prequel. Oh.
The squeakquel, come on. Let's not mix it with like real art like those
Chipmunk movies. Yes. Right.
Yes.
Which
Road Chip.
It?
Which did you guys see Road Chip? Oh no, man.
I saw Chipwrecked.
No, oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Squeal Team Squicks.
Oh, yeah, you don't have any kids, right?
No.
So there's no excuse for you to not see the Chipmunk movies.
What?
Right?
I guess if they're holding you back.
I can lend them to you if you want. I got them all.
He has a box set.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, he has the Squawk Squid.
I wish. I'm just going to make that.
You should. You just home make it.
Just love the Chipmunks.
They're good, man.
Yeah. Like they have really high pitched voices. Yeah. It's hilarious.
They eat their own shit.
The old Christmas special with the hula hoop and
That's
classic. Oh, man. That's the old Chipmunks, man.
But like, wait,
that's the only Chipmunks.
This ain't your grandma's Chipmunks, man.
Did Jason Lee adopt the Chipettes too? Like, are they like his kids as well?
He's actually seen them.
So those are his kids too. Like, they all sleep.
Yeah, Jennifer Jason Lee. The guy from Mallrats.
The guy who's nominated for an Oscar in Hateful Eight.
Yeah, that used to be a skater that turned into a Kevin Smith star.
Yeah.
Who got boned in a dugout.
In dugout, by, yeah, at the point.
At the by
Earl.
What was it? Yeah, Earl.
Earl.
He meets Alvin, Simon, and Theodore because they got a Christmas tree from the woods, and they, you know, were great singers.
Does it ever explain where the Chipmunks came from
and why they talk?
Yeah,
come on, man.
Wasn't he on Clueless?
Jace, no, you're thinking Paul Rudd.
Okay,
yeah, Ant-Man
and Jeremy Sisto.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so then part two, the squeakquel, David Cross. The alt comedian, you know, that, you know, doesn't sell out.
As seen in Scary Movie 2.
Right. He finds the Chipettes, and then they take, you know, he signs them, you know, to Starlight Records or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they become famous, but then they're like, no, we love the Chipmunks. So then the Chipmunks and the Chipettes, you know, end up fucking.
Awesome. Oh, awesome. Right. Does the movie have synergy?
Yeah, but it's like a little Wally.
Oh, okay.
So, T-Bone, man, the toilet's running. We appreciate that. You know what that means. That means it's time. The toilet's running. So
it's time for the lightning round.
It's time to talk shit. Yeah, we don't talk shit with T-Bone.
I'm talking cocks.
Yeah.
That kind of rolls out the tongue. Yeah, shit with T-Bone.
Talking shit with T-Bone. What's going on, T-Bone? Here. Going to take some messages about the Spurs.
T-Bone, talk some shit.
Is there such a thing as a spin-off podcast?
Yes, I
can go somewhere with that.
We got Talking Cocks, which is another one.
Talking Cocks.
Talk about your cocks?
Right. Not dicks.
No.
And then Talking Shit with T-Bone.
Yeah, that's going to be a third. But you got to have like a Wolfman Jack voice for it.
Hey, this is Bob from California. How's
Bob, talk some shit.
Hey, Bob, thanks for joining. Now it's time for you to talk some shit.
Hey, why don't you shut the fuck up? How about that? How's that for talking shit?
Yeah, good one, man. Fuck you. All right, next caller.
You have to talk it towards... It can't be just...
We got Norm from Nova Scotia. Norm. Talk some shit.
Wait, so do I have to gear it towards anybody or you guys?
But you can also talk about literal shit.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Talking cocks is about cocks.
Because I'm a doctor. I'm a gastroenterologist,
Okay.
Dude.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, so...
took a beefy one last night.
Yeah, beefy one. That's the theme for Norman from Nova Scotia.
Talks about his beefy cock and his beefy crack.
Tell us, talk some shit.
Took a beefy one last night. Ooh. Don't know if I should attribute to the stress.
Norm from Nova Scotia, what color was it?
You know, kind of a light brown.
Light brown. Beefy, light brown.
Yeah.
Let me guess, you ate lasagna. You ate Italian last night.
Might have been the stress. It might have been the leftover Whataburger biscuits, but don't know what to attribute to. But
and now for the big question, was there blood in your feces?
I was just about to ask that.
No.
No. Then you good, man. You need to drink a little bit more water, get more fiber in your diet.
Right.
So next time you eat some lasagna, sneak a little spinach in there. The kids won't notice.
All right.
This is Talking Shit with T-Bone, guys. Remember, eat your fiber, buy a squatty potty, and always go when you have to. Don't hold it.
So thanks, T-Bone. And where can people find you online on... Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on MySpace, on LiveJournal, on all that stuff. Where can
all
they find
you? UrbanBeardster.com. Facebook is UrbanBeardster.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter at UrbanBeardster. I think I got a MySpace page somewhere, but I lost the password. So.
Yeah. As we all did.
Yeah.
I still have mine.
Well, it's going to be a fun podcast. Too. It already is, man. Thank you so much for joining us, as always.
Hey everybody, it's time for another exciting installment of Yeah, we're looking at that, a segment where I talk about the latest in movies and video games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners is going to be, yeah, I'm looking at that. So this week we're talking about Ip Man 3, which is the sequel to Ip Man 2, which was the sequel to Ip Man 1. That's I-P-M-A-N. That is the name of a man. It was the founder of Wing Chun, not Wang Chung. And that's IP Man. It does not stand for Intellectual Property Man or, you know, anything like that. Ip Man, that's his name.
Ip Man.
Ip Man.
Ip Man Seifu.
Yeah, Ip Man Seifu. He's Ip Seifu, Man. Yeah.
I go.
In these movies, he's played by the ever so awesome Donnie Yen, who is a kung fu movie maestro. He's amazing. He's been in a lot of movies, and namely, Ip Man 1 and 2.
I was going to say, you might know him from Ip Man 1 and 2.
And the guy who fought Jackie Chan in Shanghai Knights. So he's back in Ip Man 3, and this time to add some star power, some international star power, they tossed in none other than Mike Tyson, Iron Mike Tyson, to square off against Donnie Yen in this new movie, which was a pretty great theme, because if you have not seen the Ip Man movies, they have a reoccurring theme of China, early 1900s, 1920s, 1930s, and it's still these foreigners coming in and trying to change China's ways. So part one was about these Japanese government officials trying to take control of the Chinese town, and it was very, like, national pride movie. It's very Chinese pride beating the Japanese. The second one was about the British. The British had, like, control of the police and, you know, a little bit of corruption there, and so it was about the Chinese being better than the British. Those foreign devils are at it again. Yep. In part three, but this time it is a corrupt steel mill worker trying to buy out a elementary school where Ip Man's son is at. So Ip Man ain't having it. And so lots of ass beating ensues. A tender story involving his wife, who's literally gone sick of him fighting for good causes instead of being a good father and being a good husband. And in the midst of it all, he fights Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to see it. Luckily, like, it came out in China like 3 weeks ago at the beginning of the new year. And the American distribution company gave a limited one night play at the theaters nationwide. And so we luckily got to go see it. Me and Regan went to go see it. And it was enjoyable. It was very cool. Not as strong as Ip Man 1 or 2, but Donnie Yen fights Mike Tyson, and there's a couple other great scenes in it, and it's a pretty good movie.
Did he lose an ear?
Hmm? No. But Mike Tyson, you know, it's a Chinese movie, so everybody's speaking Chinese, and Mike Tyson speaks English. They did not dub him over. It's him. It's Mike Tyson in a speaking role, speaking a little bit of Chinese.
No way.
Yeah, which was, he's mostly English, but they gave him a little bit of, like, you know, he apparently he's married to a Chinese woman.
Does he play Mike Tyson?
No. He's
it takes place in like 1950s.
Yeah, 1950s. Yeah,
did they cover up his face tattoo?
No. Face tattoo's in there. It sounded like the Chinese stuff, he probably tried it, but they also dubbed another deep voiced sort of
Mike Tyson Lithby.
Best sentence was,
best line of the movie was, let's see who's this or the fastest.
Yeah.
Yours or mine. Let's see who's this or the fastest. Yeah. Man, you can't.
Yeah.
Like, man, like, it's, yeah, way to go, it Mike.
Great. It was weird because going into it, you're thinking, like, is Mike Tyson going to be cool with getting beaten up in a movie? Right. You know, he's very, you know, you figure he's got a very big ego. You know, he doesn't want to lose. And it's funny the way they do it is, it's neat how they did it. I'll just say that. I don't want to ruin it, but it's neat how they did the fight scene with him in it.
Most times when they throw like a person, like not a celebrity, but like somebody who's not capable against the other person, it's obviously like dialed down, but it was really like dialed up. Like, it really, they really shot the scene to have Mike Tyson shine in his, in his abilities, which was really cool. It was very cool. Yeah. Very cool movie. So when it comes out in video, or maybe if it gets a bigger release, I highly recommend seeing it. If you haven't seen Ip Man 1 or Ip Man 2, it's on Netflix. I highly recommend it. Part 2's got my homeboy Sammo Hung. Sammo Hung choreographed the first two movies. This one's choreographed by Yu Woon Ping, who did you know, lots of Chinese movies, but he's famous for doing the choreography for The Matrix and Kill Bill, et cetera, et cetera. So, It Man 3 inspires the first topic of the podcast for the evening, and the topic is, what is your favorite acting role by an athlete? And it could be large, small, or be cameo, because sometimes there's nothing funnier than seeing an athlete step out of his comfort zone, which is dominating in their, you know, sports, you know, arena, and then be behind the camera and act and convey a character and repeat dialogue. And sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's what it is, what it is.
Yep.
So, in the case of Hitman 3, it's Mike Tyson. Of course, the fighting's stellar, but then you also have him saying, "Let who see who fits or the fastest."
Yeah.
And it's great. Well, there's some other stellar lines Mike Tyson has in that movie.
Involving balloons.
And it's something else. So I'll kick it off and go with a basketball player who's had a couple of acting roles, but
you better not have stole mine.
No, the acting role is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, you did?
No, but maybe an airplane. Oh, okay.
Nice.
So that's what it was.
Well done.
Yeah. Well, obvious. Okay, so yes, he was in Game of Death with Bruce Lee, which is amazing. And as a cool backstory, because like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was Bruce Lee's student, and he got to be in this movie because of just how
pretending he wasn't Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, exactly. And then in Airplane, he was obviously Kareem Abdul-Jabbar flying a plane, and this kid was convinced. And then, of course, he has that breaking character of.
Like, you tell your dad.
Yeah, you tell your dad how to drag behind. I forgot what it was. It's 80s basketball.
Roger Murdoch.
Roger Murdoch. That's beautiful.
He had the fish.
Oh, that's, but the, on a side note, I don't know if anyone else's answers is, but, like, on a side note, I came to the realization because my other answer that was, like, super recent was an episode of It's Sunny in Philadelphia with Wade Boggs. And it was an amazing episode. It was the gang on an airplane try to beat Wade Boggs' record of drinking 60 beers on an airplane. And so they get belligerently drunk, and Charlie hallucinates Wade Boggs sitting next to him, but he thinks it's the ghost of Wade Boggs because he's convinced Wade Boggs is dead. And so that's so fucking hilarious. But what made me realize what's so funny is that I don't like baseball so much, but I love baseball influenced TV shows, like episodes about baseball. Sure. And so like that was just kind of a side note I just kind of want to throw out there. I love when baseball stars are in movies doing shit that's, involving baseball. I don't know. It's very weird.
I didn't think of TV shows. That's so stupid. I don't know why I didn't think of TV shows.
So mine, mine is actually in a similar vein of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And my answer is, O.J. Simpson and Naked Gun.
Two
and a half.
Nordberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he I think, shocked the world,
that flip out of the wheelchair.
Yeah, with, his actions. I mean, no one could believe he did what he did. I mean, he could have written a book about it. Seeing how he handled,
He was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, especially for sports, like a true athlete acting, like he definitely killed it.
Yeah. He killed it. He murdered it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was really like shocked. I remember sitting there watching, I think the world watched,
struck a nerve.
what he did, man. It's like he did bloody good. Like if I could,
of course,
if I could be British for a second. No, but seriously, I think
he's hilarious.
He was great. He played a buffoon very well. It was like shocking. He was hilarious, the same as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So, O.J. Simpson, you're my hero.
Nice. Him slam dunking the in part three where he has the baby.
No, when they go to the sex shop, they have all those dildos. But O.J. Simpson, man.
Rest in peace.
I want to be like you. I want to do everything that you've done in your life.
My career actually goes along with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, right. It's very similar in the fact that it was a dominating basketball player, one of the most dominating basketball players of all time, which was Wilt Chamberlain, in Conan the Destroyer.
Yeah. Oh, shit,
which,
yeah.
Mombatha. I freaking love him. I love that character. I love the fight at the very end. I mean, when you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was, I don't know, what, like 6'4", absolutely pure muscle, who would intimidate any man on earth, except if you're freaking Wilt Chamberlain, who's 7'1", ripped as hell. Yeah. Like, he wasn't skinny, but he was huge and ripped. And you're like, oh yeah, that guy could take on Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Like, they picked a dude and he did really good. I mean, he wasn't terrible. He did a really good job at playing just a big, like, you know, barbarian enforcer guy. And I just love him. I love that character. I love Mombatha. Yeah. He's
how does he not have age and Magic Johnson does?
I don't know. One of them, maybe he took care of his money.
Probably a little bit better.
Got it.
Because Magic, he was a businessman first.
Right.
After he retired. So he's millionaire. Like, he's good with money. And usually that's what takes care of AIDS.
Right,
yeah.
Money.
Yeah. Did you ever see the South Park episode?
No.
Where it's they find the cure for AIDS and it's just blended money, like, put into and they're like, we found the cure! It's money! And they show this dude, like, fly to Africa and he's like, we found the cure! And there's all these, like,
will it blend?
And he's like, it's money! And there's all these, like, dying African kids just, like, staring at him. And he's like, yay! It's hilarious. Anyway. So, yeah, Wilt the Stilt, 100,000, Mr. 100,000 himself, Chamberlain.
D-Bone.
Yeah. So since
I was stolen, I apologize.
Had to go on the fly. And at first, I was going to say Schwarzenegger because he wasn't.
He counts.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Terry Bradshaw in a movie that I really don't want to admit that I've seen. Failure to Launch.
Oh, wow.
He's the dad with the naked room.
Wow.
To have a naked room.
Is that with Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Rolling the boogers.
Never seen that movie. Oh man, is it out on Redbox?
Well, since
it's been out for a while,
it's not a new movie.
I don't really get out to theaters anymore.
Man. Yeah, it's a romantic comedy, kind of. Yeah.
But he's married to Kathy Bates in the movie, and they're really good together. Yeah,
he's definitely sweet. Man.
I think he's naked in the movie.
Terry Bradshaw?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which is a little weird, but.
Yeah. I'm cool with it. Now I have to see it.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Wow. I'm surprised he hasn't done more movies then. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was kind of what I led to, like, the topic, you know, because it's the whole Mike Tyson thing, and I thought about it. I was like, oh, this is going to be good, like, Facebook question, because when I thought about it, I was like, man, there really is a bunch of, like, athletes turned actors in at least a movie or so. It happened. There's a lot of them, so I wonder if any funny ones pop up because, yeah, there's a couple that rolled across my
mind. All right, well, let's shout out to John Cena and Trainwreck.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, that was a good
one. I have an honorable mention, but I want to see what Facebook says.
Okay, Brian Benitez says Mitch Gaylord in American Anthem. Miguel Cantu says Captain Lou as Super Mario.
TV.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's
a
wrestler.
Yeah, sure.
Brandy Dunnigan says maybe not my favorite, but the most recent one was LeBron James in Trainwreck. I had low expectations for both movie and this role and was pleasantly surprised.
Shout out John Cena, but not fucking LeBron James.
Robert Jurdy says Kareem in Game of Death and Airplane.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Ryan Timothy Brace, RTV says Roger Clemens, Wade Boggs, King Griffey Jr., everybody playing themselves in Homer at bat. See, that's one of the best, Wade Boggs, I thought of that episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, and one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, Shaved Sideburns.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, very, very, very good episode of The Simpsons. Justin Cooper says Jean-Claude Van Damme in Street Fighter. Not really, it was just the first thing that came to mind.
Was he in Street Fighter?
He was. Yeah,
technically, you could say any of those martial artists, right? That were technically Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris, absolutely.
Competitive. Exactly.
Because of sidekicks?
Yeah. Well, I mean, everything he's.
Joe Piscopo.
Yeah, RIP.
Because Joe he was Piscopo. A country
Mike
student.
Ditka was in something, probably in more than one.
He's been
Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. Kicking and Screaming.
Ross Carter says, can't believe I'm beating Travis Reyes to this answer, but it's got to be Michael Jordan in Space Jam.
I was waiting for that one.
Or even Patrick Ewing with slick erectile dysfunction joke during the Pro Suck at Basketball Now montage.
Yeah. Who is
Remember?
The, who isn't the Clerks cartoon, man, Patrick, you dreaming about your crappy jump shot again? I forgot who says that, though.
Oh, I forgot who says that.
It's one of the best things ever.
I like fried chicken. I like grape soda.
And Patrick Ewing makes a jump shot and wins a very important game. Patrick Ewing, you dreaming about your crappy jump shot again?
You know, Brian Powell says The Rock in Walking Tall, starring my boy Johnny Knoxville and Zero from Holes. Smoking meth. Oh, there's a dude named Zero from the movie Holes who smoked meth. So what about The Rock? Is that a athlete?
Yeah, I mean, that actually does turn. I mean, he's like probably...
I would choose The Rundown instead of Walking Tall, though, because Rundown's freaking great.
Because isn't that like the... That's his first starring role, right? Not so much the movie he was in, but that was the first, like, okay, we're putting The Rock and he's...
Was Rundown?
So do wrestlers count? Because they're pretty much actors.
Entertainers, right?
As athletes,
I consider wrestlers
so
athletes.
So then Andre the Giant and Princess Bride. Totally.
Very good.
Sure, yeah.
All of those count. Yeah. Brian Gutierrez says John Cena in Trainwreck was pretty good.
John Cena's in everything.
He's in the Marine. Yeah.
No, he was like in the, like, he's the star, right?
Yeah.
He also says, I hear he was also awesome in Sisters. Andrew Deal says Mike Tyson in Mike Tyson Andy. Mysteries. The show.
The actual show?
The porn.
Yeah.
Gabriel Diaz, OJ in the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah, man.
Jessica Flower says Kevin Durant in Thunderstruck.
Yeah!
That's great because it's one of the roles where the person plays themselves the entire movie. So it's like, Kevin, we're going to need you to play Kevin Durant through this entire movie. Do you think you can do this? It's like, yeah, I think so.
And action.
Hey guys, I'm Kevin Durant. Cut. Kevin, what the hell, man?
Oh, you want me to act like me or like what y'all think I would act like?
Was he that deep?
Have you seen Thunderstruck starring Kevin Durant?
I have not.
It's like the movie Big, but with basketball and Kevin Durant.
Nice.
It's the most ridiculous movie ever. It's really good. I saw it on a plane flight. It was great. Castro says Charles Barkley from Clerks the animated series.
Charles Barkley says it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey Patrick, you still dreaming about your
Charles Barkley?
Yeah.
Thanks, Carlos. Thanks for the assist.
I hope this day never ends.
Travis K says, as terrible as it is, the first thing that comes to mind is Shaq in Shazam. I just don't really pay attention that much to athletes and their acting roles.
Shaq and Blue Chips. That was a
Freddie
made the joke. It was a Gene Salad joke. Blue Chips, Blue Chips.
What's great is Lito Cortez says the movie's called Kazam. Travis K goes, exactly. I didn't pay attention. Kazam. He called it Shazam.
But it's called Kazam.
Samantha Lyons Rick says, Alex Karras in Blazing Saddles should have won an Oscar for punching that horse.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I don't know. I've got
something that's a little bit twist on it. Kurt Russell was actually a professional baseball player.
And then he left when the Portland Mavericks joined the league. Wow.
Yeah, there's a cool documentary on Netflix about the Glorious Bastards of Baseball or something.
And it was Kurt Douglas.
No, Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Kurt Russell.
That's Mike Douglas.
You made me moist.
Mike Douglas
made me moist.
Juan Carlos Pelaez, who will forever be known as JCP from now on, says Terry Crews in everything, especially White Chicks. Yeah. He was probably the best thing about that movie.
Yeah, awful. Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Terry Crews. In fucking tears.
Oh, my gosh. So good. Stacy Medina says, John Cena in Sisters. Another John Cena. I can't think of anything better last minute. Funny movie. He didn't do much. I hate my answer now. Shaggy from Puto Slam says, Kenan Thompson, a former hockey player for the Ducks.
No.
In Good Burger.
That doesn't count, Shaggy.
God damn it.
It totally counts. Good answer, Shaggy.
As in a movie, it counts as him being an athlete.
God damn it. I don't like that Shaggy made that answer work. I don't like that at all.
And that gets a like.
He always answers Kenan Thompson for all our questions.
But he made it work. Yeah. Alfred Perez says, John Cena in the Marine. High freaking hilarious. Oh, he thought it was funny. He wasn't just a Marine, he was the Marine. And Michael Romo says, this is going to Ray Allen as Jesus Shuttlesworth.
That was my honorable mention. I was waiting to see if someone was going to say it. But yeah, Ray Allen, no acting experience, hasn't acted since, was the lead role
in
a Spike Lee joint and owned it.
And Ray Allen, 2013 for everybody.
How?
the Spurs finals.
Oh, yeah.
But no one said Brian Bosworth in
Stone Cold?
Stone Cold.
What? No. Oh, he's a football player, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck right. him.
True. So there it is, guys. Ip Man 3 starring Donnie Yen and Mike Tyson. Very endearing movie. Not as strong as the first two, but still definitely worth watching. But if you haven't seen the first two, watch them on Netflix. They're amazeballs.
Just got me the first one for my birthday 2 years ago. I'll watch it. I probably...
No, you said we'd watch it together. That's what you said.
That's going to be what we should watch for...
Yeah.
What do you mean you haven't seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we'll talk about later. So, Ip Man 3. Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
And, guys, it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
Hooray!
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
So, no kids for you, huh, T-Bone?
No, no kids.
No little
Yay!
T-Bones.
Hey, there's the real hooray.
I'm outnumbered again. So, you know, I have a 10-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son, and my daughter just entered strings this year. She started playing violin. She made it on this very famous violin player's Facebook page. And was showcased in the paper for Mark Wood, one of the founders of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, man.
Nice.
Yeah, rock and roll pioneer in the electric, wow. You know, plays a Viper, right? You know what a Viper is, right? It's like a flying V violin.
What?
Yeah, dude. It's crazy. It's awesome, man. And, like, I couldn't believe that she actually played with somebody so famous. And this is the attitude I had when she told me, because I don't know who the fuck Mark Wood is, was, or will be. None of the parents knew who the fuck Mark Wood was.
All your parents have to do is Google on your phones.
We Googled it. You Google Larry Garza, and I'm a pretty freaking well-known comic. And Mark Wood could be. It's like this. If I met the world's most famous cobbler,
mm-hmm.
would that, like,
Adam Sandler.
would that, like, matter?
Well, see, that's what I always think is funny about fame itself.
Like, if she was in shop...
No, I know, but it's so funny because that's what just the concept of fame, whenever I think about that, like every time I'm in the gym locker room, they have ESPN like 3 on.
Right.
And on ESPN 3, whatever the hours that I'm always in there, whoa, that dude's
Picture
amazing.
Mark Wood. Yeah.
And ESPN, whatever hour I'm on, it's the extreme sports thing where they talk about the world's best, like, motocross bikers, and these guys are like amazing bikers and athletes, mm-hmm. and I've never mm-hmm. have heard of them.
Now, I think that kind of, like, falls into a niche, right?
Yeah.
But I bet you that if they had, like, an X Games thing, he would sell out if he was performing here. He would sell out, like,
sure.
Freeman.
But that's, right? Like, anything. Like, pick – it's if Dave Mustaine went into a Chipotle, like, in –
Lubbock.
No, on like on the south side.
Beaumont.
And that's a bad example because he would get rushed. On the south side, Dave Mustaine with all those mechanics?
Nah, I guess so.
Yeah, right by Flipside? Like, dude. Like,
I guess it depends. I guess the example is trying to, like, a person famous for doing something somewhere where they're not normally...
And I'm with you. It's like if Wayne Gretzky... You know, went
to
the South Side, and they wouldn't worship him. He wouldn't be the great one. He'd be like some other white guy, which I understand, which I get, which is just, you know, not it. But if Wayne Gretzky, visited the Rampage, right? You know, people from the Rampage, like, it would be like, holy shit, fucking Wayne Gretzky, and it'd probably, like, pack, right? But if name not Wayne Gretzky, another famous hockey player, like, well-known retired hockey player that you have to know hockey, he wouldn't sell out. Now, picture that retired hockey player came to the Rampage and decided to not teach kids, but allow elementary school kids to have a scrimmage with a legend, right? And then they sold tickets for like $35 a pop, and then the kid came out and skated for, like, just went did a lap, and then he goes, "All right, guys, so I hope you enjoyed that. Now let me show you a little of this." And it did, like, shitty tricks for an hour and a half. And then said, "Now we're passing out raffle tickets, and I want you guys could win this hockey stick, this Stingray hockey stick, which is top-of-the-line hockey stick, donated by Hockey Emporium, located here in San Antonio, Texas." So let's give them a round of applause. All right, guys. So each raffle ticket is worth $5, and, you know, your kids really need this stick. So you're not a good parent unless you get this stick, right? And then a fucking 1,000 parents are like, $5, right? All right, guys. So let's bring the kids back for what? Anyway, basically what I'm saying is,
that's what happened, but with violins.
That's what happened with violins. And it was, he had his wife, and they sang, you know, like, you know, Eleanor Rigby, right? You know, they sang the Beatles. So
what is Eleanor Rigby?
It's a Beatles song.
Okay.
So, and a face by the jaw, yeah.
So they had three violinists. They had Mark Wood on a stage on top of the stage. They had this blue-haired, like, cool chick violin player, played the same type of violin.
Nice.
And they had the Ricky Martin of electric violin players.
Ooh.
Wearing mariachi pants, right?
Ooh.
And so
I like it.
They started off at the Aztec Theater with the Sea of Kids, right? And the positive thing, the thumbs up, is that Mikey felt that she performed in front of a couple thousand people, which she was very excited about.
Right.
She got to get, not all the kids were on stage. They had these little stairs off stage because there were so many fucking kids. At one point, she was able to join the stage for this Bruno Mars song, which is just beep, 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 beep. That's all they did, right? And she danced. Seriously, that runaway baby, right? But it was all these different songs, but with like, you could be the best violin player in the world and still sucks, right? And and she got to dance, and I was really proud of her, and she was just beaming light, and she got really into violin, and the end result was positive. Mm-hmm. The end result was positive. But the elementary school kids had two songs. They brought up this ringer kid that was this, like, white boy with a vest, like, and he was like 8, and they're all, "Let's give it up for Gabe," and they're singing Michael Jackson, right? And he just kept going, "Do ya?" That's all he kept doing, was just that. They would give him the mic and he'd go, "Do ya?" Like Michael Jackson. And then he started doing this, like robot snake bullshit breakdancing white boy shit.
But like, right? Good?
Or like, he was okay.
But he didn't play the violin.
No! No, they had some singers from high school, and then Gabe that was obviously not from here. Like, and I just kept, "You're not from here, Gabe!" Like, none of the kids knew him. Right?
Maybe he was homeschooled.
Probably homeschooled in New York, where they taught him how to dance, kind
of. Yeah, they broke his ankles at the age of 3 so he could become like an all-star dancer.
Do ya? And so
I really want to see that now. Like,
I'm sure there's like thousands of Instagram videos of that event.
Yeah, so look up there. Gabe, right? And then then Ricky Martin, violin player, comes out. And he was like, "And I'm just going to real quick sing my new single called It's La Vida," right? Seriously, I'm not doing a quote, right?
Wow. Jesus.
And so he's like, "All right." So he has his fucking dumbass Dimebag Darrell fucking violin, right? And so it's got this, you know, right? And he goes, "I'm walking down the street, but I spit on my plata. I'm looking at this hot, real sexy little vata." And it's just like all these, like, one Spanish word.
Yeah.
And
he goes,
"But it's la vida." And you see all these, like, middle-aged Mexican fucking Southside family bullshit just nodding their head.
Hey, look, dude. And they don't even want to be there to begin with, like,
none
you.
Of us
like
do.
You. None of them want to be there. So the fact that they can somewhat connect with part of a song is the only joy they're getting from that.
So here's where I'm a hypocrite. And I had to like start because I was being very cynical because I was just like, God, all this fucking money. And after every little thing, give it up for the teachers that make a difference. Give it up for the staff that's here. Give it up and give it up on your feet and stand up. And I was just like, Jesus fucking Christ. And then he starts, right?
Where's Mark Wooden through all of this?
Well, he was in the middle doing the lead violin for all the songs. So, oh, okay. Like, when they played Back in the USSR, mm-hmm. right, he was the one that... And he had this wig. Holy shit. He's like this hair metal guy. And he had this fucking, like, Tina Turner... It was a fucking wig. And then... he looked like what's his name? Steve Odenkirk from Kung Pao. Like he looked like that guy with this fucking mame. Yeah. Wasn't
the picture that we just saw that?
It's worse. Like that. Like they did a good job making that look like real hair. Okay. And apparently he's been doing this scam for years because I talked to Mikey. He didn't teach her shit. Like they went that Saturday like at 11 and they were practicing and all this right. stuff, but they were practicing with their teachers. And Mark Wood, he didn't even take a picture with him and you weren't allowed to take a picture with him wow. because at the end of it, if you guys want to take a picture, we'll be signing autographs and stuff. And I'm like, they're charging. Yeah. They're charging for pictures. And Mikey wanted one. And I was just like, ah, oh, you know what, sweetheart? We dropped $100 tonight.
No.
And that was on the cheap.
Yeah.
You know, like we had the mezzanine seats. We didn't have the $50 front row seats. We had like the $20 seats.
Yeah.
It's because three of them.
Because you don't love her.
Apparently not. We bought a shirt, Mark Wood shirt, you know, because.
Oh, man, that's.
You know, we had to.
This guy.
Man, well, we had to man, because the fucking, they all wore the shirt.
No, I get it. But that, to me, I'm just like, this guy's a genius.
Yeah, that's no, like the,
that's a genius.
That's I mean, the mouth harp hustle yeah. has evolved like a new
oh,
game.
Oh, man, this guy. That's
a
he's and, making the best of fuck my life.
Exactly. Yeah.
To all the listeners out there, I did not make Mikey feel like shit about it. I am venting to my friends because I was like, oh my God, you were right next to him and you were on stage and you killed it and you did such a great job. I'm so proud of you and you weren't even nervous and man, Mark. And then Gunner's like, you know who's my favorite violin player? Mikey and Mark Wood.
The
two best. Yeah. Brandon, that branding was just Mark. Pumped. And like his wife, like so she was the singer, right?
Right.
And she didn't sing very good. And so it was funny when they brought her up and I kept fighting my eyes from rolling because they're like, you know, she's opened up with the greats such as James Brown, B.B. King, blah, 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 right? I'm just like, okay, whatever. She comes out and she's blind and she has tights on and it's just
nice.
It's like, it was like Meatloaf and his hot wife if they really sucked. And,
But he's an amazing violin player.
He's an amazing violin player. Amazing, right?
But he's just...
But it's the violin.
When he's just hot-dogging it on this fucking stage thing.
Yeah. And so, and everything.
Yeah.
Selling this and merchandise and my singles available here. And he goes, and we'll do another, you know what? Let's do another raffle. And whoever wins will get $100 off of our summer camp.
Ooh,
right?
Ooh, you can't beat that.
And it was in Kansas City, Missouri, this summer camp. God knows how much it would cost.
$1,200.
And so I'm like, all right. And so, you know, and the beauty of bringing, you know, music to schools and all this stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I go, and what are you doing for that? You're not, you know, doing anything. But again, they all had the shirts.
You say that, but I guarantee you, like, as horrible as this seems.
I know what you're going to say, and you're probably right.
A lot of those kids got inspired
absolutely
by playing the violin of all things in an age where nobody plays a violin on TV, where nobody actually does anything artistic very much. He made it cool for us for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I do think that that is kind of neat.
No, it is. Like I was saying, the end-all result was positive.
You know, right.
It was completely positive. But you're talking to a miser-ass dad.
No, I get you. I get you. Cool, but you're talking to
everything.
Mr. Look at the bright side of everything, especially arts and children.
There is way more bright side than negativity. Way more.
Yeah, you were inconvenienced tonight, really,
And $100 a motherfucking $100 when I'm already spending $50 a month on the violin.
Right. Oh, so, for Ray Rental?
Yeah. So, like, you know, and I support it. Mikey had a great time, and I wasn't going to be that dad who, we can't afford it, when I could.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I, like I said, I dressed up and all that sort of shit. And made it a night for her. But at the end of it, I was like, I'm not fucking buying an autographed picture of Mark Wood.
Yeah.
You know,
you gotta buy a frame.
I am not, yeah, because then you gotta buy a frame, and you know how expensive those are. And I wasn't gonna raffle for my Stingray violin. That's what it looked, Google Stingray violin. You don't have exactly what you're picturing?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. The type of violin that you would give, like, a douchebag. It's what those are.
It's a midlife crisis.
Exactly. And
it looks like when he's holding it, it looks like he's holding an inflatable.
No, that's a Viper.
Oh, okay.
That's like a Stingray, bro.
A Stingray's different.
Yeah, that's on another level, actually.
Oh, shit.
So, all right, so what's your.
So, anyway, so, but Mikey had a great time. Mikey fed on top of the world. Mikey was on Facebook, which, you know, on this guy's page. And Facebook on, like, public pages, like celebrity pages and stuff like that, to me, is kind of the equivalent of being on the news nowadays, on being on, like, radio. And she got some publicity, right? I don't know if Mikey has ever been on the radio or news. You know, her school was, right?
Right. And then they had their own news thing that she did a couple times. Yeah,
exactly. She was on the local news for her school. And her school was mentioned on the paper for the Mark Wood advertisement, you know, at the Aztec Theater. So the question that I have for you guys, tell me about the first time that you were ever in on the newspaper, on the radio, or on the news on television. And my answer is actually very simple. San Antonio has the sports section, and they have the high school sports section. St. Gerard's was a smaller school. We were like a 4A, right? So we played all the country schools. And any stat you got at all, as long as it was a varsity sport, got you on the paper.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I've been blessed and lucky enough to have been on the radio, on the paper, and on the news multiple times for comedy. But the first time I was on the paper was because your boy... For fucking second string varsity.
Yeah.
B-ball.
Was that like Dan Cook or somebody?
No, just whoever the fuck. I wish it was
very
Dan Cook.
Back of the
this is
pages.
A newspaper.
Oh, okay.
And the very tiny,
on the tiny high school, you know, 5A, 3A. We were 3A, so we're way on the bottom. Yeah. They had the stats for the games the night before.
L Garza.
Garza, L. 2 rebounds, bitches.
Yes.
0 everything else.
2 boards. Hey, those are important
2
rebounds.
2 fucking boards, dude.
Yeah.
Those are clutch rebounds.
Did we win? I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Who was our leading scorer? I don't remember. But Garza, L got cut out and fucking framed and put on the wall with 0-0-0-0-2 on the fucking rebound stats. And you know what, man? I fucking made it. We contributed.
Yeah.
Garza, fucking L on the Express News.
Nice, man. Express News, not San Antonio Light.
And so now what people could say is when they answer the first podcast question is who is their favorite athlete on a movie, Larry Garza on Blood Cousins.
Are all of us athletes?
Nah,
did you play a sport?
Yeah, I played baseball.
But did you make the paper?
I didn't make the paper.
You see? I'm a professional athlete.
He has documented athleticism in the paper. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I was an academic decathlete.
So, all right, guys.
I don't know if you can count that if you can't say decathlete. I don't know if that counts.
So, Jess, tell us about the first time you were on the paper.
Oh, man, that was a fucking sham because I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure. Here's the funny thing is I'm not even sure if I was truly in the news, but it was for Cub Scouts. I was in Cub Scouts. It was a Cub Scout adventure. We took a field trip to Ken's Television Studios. This was, I believe it was on For San Antonio listeners, it was when Kins was on Eisenhower. I think it was a combination. It was Kins was a combination with a radio station, something like that. So he went there, and at the time, I remember very clearly meeting Albert Flores, the weatherman, who is still active.
Yeah, the liar.
Yeah, exactly. So he worked for Kins at the time, and we took a field trip, and we like went around to see how TV works. We met Albert Flores. We saw how green screen weathering works. And then we all got in front of the camera where they do the news station or whatever, and we stood in front of it, and it was a like news person saying, this is troop whatever, blah, 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 and here, ready for the news. Like some of those bumper things. Yeah, it was one of those bumper things for TV. So at the end of it, it was just me and a bunch of other Cub Scouts going, yeah, I'm pretty sure that wasn't even, no one was recording. I'm sure that's just, I'm pretty sure.
You never know.
It was one of those experiences where they just put them in front of the thing and then they go through the motions and they teach you about it. But I'm pretty sure that never aired, but it was supposed to be.
I remember that.
A bumper. No, you don't
remember. Yeah, I saw that. I pretty remember.
It was a bumper, but in my mind, that would be the first time that was on TV. You know, it was supposed to be on TV.
This was in Cub Scouts. It was like 1967.
Oh, right.
God damn it. Yeah,
like, it was Albert Flores, senior.
All the tubes have burnt out from the. From whatever camera recorded that.
Yeah, that's cool, man. It was like, it probably didn't air because they had to talk about the Kennedy assassination. We break these local Cub Scouts saying, yeah, for this special bulletin.
It was
bulletin.
Live.
One day people would be able to see you in color.
Yeah. That was when reality was black and white. Like actual...
Everything was black and white.
Yeah. Like, yeah, reality was not colored yet.
And then when you got touched by your scout leader,
I was not touched by Castro. I did not get jammed.
No.
I got sick and I barfed orange soda and hamburgers. That's what happened. I didn't get jammed. I didn't get touched.
We know why.
Of course not.
Never go full Cub Scout.
Yeah.
Everyone gets sick.
It was Cub Scout. I went on Boy Scouts. I had to wait to go to Boy Scouts to get my fucking junk messed with. So.
Good to know.
Still counts.
You have to graduate Weeblow to get Weeblow.
Yeah, exactly.
To get Weeblown?
Yeah, exactly.
Cub Scouts got hair on their balls, so that kind of turns the scout leader.
You guys were famous early in life.
Why? You know, things happen.
The first thing that my mind went to, and I really think this is it, was... when I went to SAC,
dude.
Yeah.
Local theater you did?
No. I interned at 105.3, the radio station.
Magic 105.3,
yeah.
Yeah, with Delilah?
And then there's a couple other stations, and they let me intern there as a voice and commercial producer guy. So they let me actually make commercials as well as voice some commercials.
Nice. It was
really, really cool. And I remember the first one that I did, and I remember sitting in a parking lot. Where was it? It was at some, I don't know if it was a Walmart parking lot, and I heard it was a Joe's Volcano.
Yes, dude.
Nightclub spot that I, it was like Joe's Volcano, blah, blah, blah.
And you had to do it?
Yeah, and it was my voice. I recorded, I did the voice, I did the music, I did it.
They still use it.
Yeah. I fully produced it.
They still use it.
Take me to the volcano. That's all I had to use, and then I could throw in whatever music.
I can't believe that's you.
No, they use an old one,
and
bro.
They might. Who knows? They own it. And I remember sitting in, and it was a surreal moment. It was a surreal moment to hear that commercial and go like, "Well, that's my." And then part of me was like. That's what I sound like? I'm like, yeah, that's what you sound like. And it was just knowing the surreal idea that everyone listening to Magic 105.3 was hearing that commercial. And then from then on, I did a bunch of commercials. They actually ended up hiring me to do part-time commercial production there. And so I did a ton of commercials, a commercial work and producing a bunch of commercials to where it was like I could hear my voice over and over and over. And then everyone remembers the KFC.
Yeah, Lunchtime Crunch.
Lunchtime Crunch. And then I did some other voice work and stuff. And so that made
it was you too?
Yeah.
You remember the Lunchtime Crunch?
Yeah. And a biscuit.
Yeah.
I remember being in the sound booth and just everyone cracking up at me going, and a biscuit. It was hilarious.
In a world.
In a world.
And hopefully, you'll be hearing my voice talking to Danny Green.
Yes! God damn it, Burger Fly commercial.
That's right. Good old number 14.
Yeah, so that was fun. It was fun hearing my voice on Joe's Volcano.
But how many rebounds did you grab?
None, I know. Look, mind you, I was like 21 years old, 22 years old at the time, so it was late in the game.
See, dude. I was 16.
Yeah, Jess was like 5 when he got on
TV. I was like 7 or 8 or 9, see, 10, so maybe 12, I don't know.
Look, I'm not saying it was still neat, even though I know it was way late in my life. So
T-Bizzle.
This isn't the real answer, but I just wanted to say that I met Sherman Helmsley when I was a teenager.
George Jefferson.
That was your brush with.
Yeah, that was my brush with.
Oh, man.
That's my icebreaker at every
part. He's gay, right?
He's dead, actually.
Because of that?
Oh, I don't know if it's related.
No. Okay, I was going to say, man, come on.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's dead as fuck.
Well, no, that part I'm sure of. Yeah. I just don't know if he's gay if it's relevant.
Yeah, Larry.
Let's see if he's gay. Larry, you and I have actually been on the same show, but in different decades, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, in 2003, I was cooking for Whole Foods. I think I can say that because they're not going to sue me.
Yeah.
And they asked me to do a cooking segment on San Antonio Living.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
So I made vegetarian chili.
Oh, fair enough. All right,
yeah,
cool.
I didn't have a choice. I wouldn't have made it.
Yeah. All right.
Told me what to make. But
I'm sure it was delicious regardless. Vegetarian chili can be delicious.
Yeah, I guess. It was to promote their, you know, different products and recipe books.
I mean, because that's different. I mean, all three of us, this was all, like, not live. Like, you were live on TV.
Yeah,
so your first thing was live. Yeah.
And I'm like, prepping behind while the show's going on.
Yeah.
I'm getting everything ready in this movable stage. And I'm a nervous wreck. I think I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think I actually cracked a joke that with a total straight face that I don't know if anyone actually got it. But she said something about how it's it seems like an easy recipe, and I said, "Yeah, but things cook faster on TV." And I thought it was funny.
Yeah, dude, eat that shit. That was meaty. The chili might have been vegetarian, but that joke was
beefy.
That was a beefy joke.
Dude, that is tough. I can't imagine. And then cooking is another thing because I'm just imagining all the things that you can imagine going wrong while cooking live.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though.
That is.
It was fun.
That's a real, like, appearance on the news.
Did you
get any rebounds?
Did everybody taste it? Do you remember, did anybody eat the chili?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know what? Afterwards, yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say, because you always wonder, like, on those shows where they're doing cooking live, like, does it really taste, like, did they really do a good job, or did they just cook it on TV and then, like...
Like, everybody's there. Even people that are on later, they're all hanging around drinking coffee and eating donuts, and so, yeah, everyone, I think everyone got a little bit of chili afterwards, or when they went to some remote segment or something.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Hell yeah.
Still not 2 rebounds, though.
Yeah, well, no. It's the 2 rebounds.
What is?
Yeah. You know? Well, I scored 4 points at Ground Poe. You know.
Did you make the paper?
It wasn't in the paper, Jess. Come on. Apples and oranges, bro.
No, all right. Fair enough. I don't think I was in
the paper. We don't want to talk about JV.
I did also make the paper, but, you know, no big deal.
For what?
We were in the San Antonio's, or the some beard segment that Michael Quintanilla did.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, Quiñones.
John Quiñones.
Oh, this one did like the social and style or something.
Right.
I don't know, something like that. Lifestyle, I think.
But see, that's still badass.
Yeah. But it was also the other guys in the beer club. It wasn't just me.
So. But you were on there.
I was on there, yeah. I got 5 copies at the house.
Nice. Sweet. Yeah. Ask my mom. She has copies of everything we've been in the paper since.
So do I. 2 rebounds.
Yeah. That's cool. You should keep that. Like, just recently... Well, I mean, I can't show you. I'll show you guys later. My old man found all of his Golden Glove boxing clippings.
That's badass.
And it's really cool. Awesome. Like, it is really cool to have that stuff. So, like, years from now, it's going to be neat that you keep all that stuff and show Gunner and Mikey, like, look at all the cool stuff I did.
Like the uncle on Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, I still fucking live
in it. But in the paper, bro.
Yeah.
In the paper.
In writing.
And then you're like, but Mikey, don't listen to episode 1. What episode is this?
This is going to be 137.
No, but 137 me lying to you about enjoying your
violin. When she's older, she's going to get it.
Yeah.
All right, let's hope so, man.
Yeah. No.
She'll look back and understand.
Here's the thing.
Champ.
She was great.
Yeah.
She wasn't shy.
Yeah, no.
She was on stage. it was no, worth
maybe
it.
It'll make her appreciate you even more that you sacrificed that and bought a shirt. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, but I was there for her, and she was there for two songs. That's why I was like, yeah,
and that dude's a freaking genius.
Yeah, he is.
All right, Facebook answers. Judson Cooper says, I'm sure I was on the news at some point in my marching band days in high school. I did a quick interview for tobacco secession while I was working at a local health center as well. All right. Adam Michael Garcia says, in 2001, as part of my high school senior project for independent study mentorship, I was able to produce a show with some great artists at the San Pedro Playhouse Cellar Theater. Deborah Martin wrote a small preview for it for the Express News. I still have the clipping.
It's Dino Fox.
Dino Fox. Ross Carter says, my grandma lives in a super small farming town called Norborn, Missouri, where everything makes it into the local paper, including any time we would visit. I thought it was cool the first time I noticed it in third grade, but it got old quick. It still happens to this day. It still counts, Ross. You're in the paper. Nick Meyer says, I was one of those Commander KO TV spots on TV during the afternoon cartoon block.
Say hi to me, Big Boss.
Yeah. ABB. I got a picture with Commander KO.
Oh, you fucking bitch, man.
Kathleen O'Connor, Captain KO? That's the only one.
I wonder. Yeah, I got to ask him that.
Andrew Deal says, first time was on the news in 2012 with the good folks from Alamo Beard Club. We are being interviewed for our inaugural facial hair competition at the 502 bar.
Andy.
Travis K says, I was probably on before this, but my first specific memory of being on the news was when I was interviewed by Gary Dallin while at an American Cancer Society event. When the CTRC did their groundbreaking event in 1994. And I was interviewed after talking with then Mayor Nelson Wolf. Ooh, Travis K, all fancy.
Yeah.
JCP Juan Carlos says, when my name was mentioned on the podcast, it's a form of news, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
sure does.
Yeah, it does.
Two rebounds.
Jovita Megan says, back in 2007 for something mariachi related, Spanish News interviewed me at the time when my Spanish speaking skills were rocky at best. Somehow I managed to look/sound decent when the interview actually aired.
Ooh, lo siento muy excited.
That was the clip. That's exactly what she said.
Lo siento Selena, muy excited. Dude.
Oh, nice. She pulled a Selena?
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to say
that. Boy, excited. Oh, and then,
yummy. Jamie Kilpatrick Lee says, I've only been in the newspaper as a reporter, but my brother's photo is in the San Antonio Light. Going way back. In the early 80s.
Light.
Doing some cute kid thing.
First time I was in the news is when I was a reporter.
What is that? What is that?
Rebounds. Don't get jealous.
Did she ever get rebounds? Was when I was doing ads for Joe's Volcano.
What? Larry.
You're big time, dude.
Whatever. You got two rebounds when you were 16.
Yeah, dude.
You were a teenager, man.
Hey, man.
Getting boards like crazy.
I didn't ask for this.
I know. Shaggy from Puto Slam says, junior high, Pete Brody and I won the local frisbee catching competition. Oh, Brody.
What a hippie thing to say.
That's when you put hashtag hippie for life. Stacy Menina says, my cousin and I used to cruise around town at night and try to call in any station to win anything. We made it through one night and won movie tickets to I don't know what. We cussed so much the chick called us bocas de basura. Good times. Trash mouths. Alfred Perez says, some school newsletter in elementary school. I was misquoted, of course, but I can't remember what it was about. But it fueled my badness nonetheless. A. Bryant Wood says, I was witness on a Judge Judy in 1999.
Oh, what?
Yeah. You were on Judge Judy? My dad seen you then.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He has all of them DVR'd.
Judge Judy and Executioner.
Lito Cortez, the first time I made the news, the paper was ninth grade. A picture was featured on the cover of a sports page. I was fighting Golden Gloves. Nice.
Nice.
Picture was great, but thank goodness it wasn't a video because I got my butt whooped that fight. Nice.
That's all.
Samantha Lyons Rick says, does having my Facebook comments read on a podcast count as being on the radio?
It sure does.
Susie Hamilton said, I made the news for New Year's Eve of Y2K. Whoa. Celebrating downtown in a weird vintage turban with fabric flowers glued to it. It looked like it was a synchronized swimmer's cap. Nice.
Millennium was the time of your life, Susie. That was like your...
Everything was Y2K.
Everything was Y2K. Aliens with bumblebees. Yeah. Charms.
Alien playing a saxophone.
Yeah, but saxophone.
Bali necklaces.
I have a false memory of the San Antonio College Ranger paper doing an article about the growing arcade scene in the lobby, but I think that's a false memory. I remember vaguely being interviewed about people like...
They interviewed the Soul Calibur kid.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember having a quote in an article about that. That might have been the time I made it big.
Yeah.
The reason why I met you. You don't remember you signed my Ranger with your fingerless gloves?
Yeah, because like, I was playing the game that I played was hilariously enough. It's a Japanese puzzle game called
Sudoku.
No.
The one with the little tiles.
I remember it's that, but it was actually this very it's something balls. It's like crazy balls or wacky balls.
Monkey balls?
No, it very looks.
Remember that game?
Yeah,
yeah.
That game was pimp. Was pretty good. No, I think that was where I was.
No, it was like, you know, we speak to Thunderska Bergerstein, 77 here at the Ranger Arcade, to ask him what he thought about gaming. He was quoted as saying,
"Pachinko,
it's cool, girl." So, if your kids want, you know, to play an instrument or, you know, perform on stage, you know, like, make sure that they want to support their dreams or don't pay for tickets to like these concerts and make them feel like stars. Or maybe you shouldn't, because that's just an inflated ego. I don't know. Mark Wood, look him up. Laugh.
Don't sign up for it.
Don't fucking fall into the gap.
But appreciate the arts.
But appreciate what he's doing for kids, because he gave my daughter a stage, and she was very proud of herself.
She's going to remember that.
And she is going to remember
that
for a long time.
It'd be a great memory.
So
was that memory worth $100 later?
Absolutely.
There we go.
So, and NLBL Mark Wood, thank you very much. And you could shove that stingray up your ass. Parenting, man. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
They're going to end up fucked up anyway.
The game is called Battle Balls, by the way. That's what it was called.
Oh, yeah, well, two rebounds.
All right. And now it's time for Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about not funny stuff. And today we are definitely talking about something not funny, coming out of an article in Psychology Today, talking about how insects complicate our aversive emotions. And it's interesting. There are seven... universal emotions. It's like anger, fear, sadness, disgust, contempt, surprise, and happiness. So those are the seven things that you can see in your face. Anyway, the cool thing about insects is that they've shown is that they actually mix both disgust and fear. So they say it's weird that you can be afraid of heights, right? But nobody's disgusted by heights.
Okay.
Like, you can be afraid of a gun being pointed at your face, but you're not disgusted by it. Yet with insects, it's one of the few things where it's the combination of being afraid of something, but at the same time, simultaneously disgusted by it. It's one of the very, very, like, few things that people, when they see a cockroach, or if they see any flying bug or something, it's not just you're terrified of it, but you're terrified and grossed out. And so they actually talk about this in this article I posted on the Facebook, of this sort of complex aversive emotions of mixing disgust and fear. And they talk about five different models of going into it. But regardless, it just brings me to my topic, which is just tell us about a time that you were terrified by an insect. I'm pretty sure love insects. I love insects. I am a huge insect fan.
You're an anthropologist.
Entomologist. I love insects. I love taking pictures of insects. My Instagram is pretty much 90% insect pictures. But as much as I love them, as much as I am in awe of insects themselves, I can be friggin' afraid of them. Like, I'm still kind of, nothing scares me more. Like, I'm completely fine if I know a spider's around, and if it's on me, I'm okay with it. But once I lose sight of that spider,
any kind of spider, really,
I'd be like, "Where the hell is it?
Interesting. That's funny.
Like, but what's funny is I wasn't always like this, mind you. I guess my story it involves a spider, but it involves, you know, I'll tell you, this is when I was terrified. It is I probably told the story before, where it's the first time, or the only time in my life, where I've almost fainted. And so I was playing baseball in high school. I was never on the stat sheet, Larry.
Well, I mean, hey.
Anyway, it was practice. During baseball practice, I hit a foul ball, and the foul ball went into this like bamboo thicket that we had next to the thing, next to the baseball field.
Where did you play baseball in Japan?
No, but it's weird. There was a bamboo thicket next to the baseball field. And so if you hit a foul ball over there, you got to go get it. So batting practice, hit a foul ball, go through there. I'm walking through the, you know, walking through the little bamboo, walking through, and I feel you know, you feel like you walk through a spider web. And everybody's done that. Everybody's had that feeling of walking through a spider web. And you never?
Yeah, Gwen Stefani did.
I was going to, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Just waiting for that.
Leave a message. I'll call you back.
And so I'm like, you know, I'm not immediately scared of it. Well, I'm walking around. I'm looking for the baseball on the ground. And I look down, and on my chest is a very large black and yellow garden spider. Like, yeah, I don't know if you guys know this. They're usually pretty big. You could know their, you know their webs by, it's got a zigzag pattern on four different things if you've seen their.
Yeah.
They're very common in South Texas. They're very awesome spiders. I really, really like them. But they can get pretty big. And this one was probably about the size, I don't know, maybe, you know, about an inch or two across in diameter.
In the middle of your chest.
But when it's on the middle, what's in the middle of your chest,
yeah,
it looked about 5 inches
staring back
around.
Please tell me that your baseball uniform was blue and red.
No, we were orange and white and blue.
Damn it, that would have been so fucking cool. Yeah. Spider-Man for a split second.
Well, I look down and I see this freaking giant spider. It was big. It was big, but it wasn't, you know, obviously, you know, fear made it a lot bigger. And the outside of my vision starts darkening. Like, it scared me to the point where I almost fainted. I felt myself falling backwards, caught myself, and then immediately brushed off my chest really quickly and stomp with cleats, stomped the hell out of thing. But holy God, like, it scared, it nearly knocked me out. And I'm so glad I didn't faint, because I can't imagine if I did, the other baseball players going like, where's Regan? And then they just see me passed out on the ground.
And they're like,
and there's no spider.
Oh, you did it again!
What, they murdered me?
Yeah.
I think there's no spider around. I'm just sleeping. Like, I look like the lazy guy who just decided to take a nap instead of
bamboo
instead of practicing.
Oops, I hit a foul ball.
I've got to go get it, guys.
Nom, nom, nom.
Nappy time.
Was he eating bamboo?
What is he was eating his nap.
I'm a panda?
Yeah, you eat bamboo, you fall asleep.
How cool is that? But yeah, it was super, super scary. Absolutely terrifying. I remember it. I absolutely remember that like it was yesterday, almost passing That's out crazy. Of fear. So yeah, that was a time that I was terrified by an insect.
All my answers that I kept coming up with revolve around bees and hornets.
Yeah.
Those
are some scary things.
Right. I'm pretty afraid of them. But these story, I think we may have told on the podcast in the past, but I'm going to do it again because it's an answer of the question. Actually has to revolves around Regan.
This was going to be my second answer.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to. I had a backup answer, but I'm glad you're letting me tell it because you invoked so much. Fear in my heart.
Yeah.
On the set of Blood Cousins, mm-hmm. our movie that we filmed, we rented out a crack house. Like, it was literally a crack house that someone
off
bought
of MLK,
and then they put up on Craigslist, and we rented it for a month to shoot, you know, our film. There is a lot of problems.
It was a crack. I mean, we're not even joking. It was a crack house.
It was a crack house.
We got it.
There was a lot of problems with it, and there was like bees. There was bees outside. Now,
bees or wasps?
No, bees.
Like,
bees.
Not.
But you can only see them from when
there was hornet's nest, but bees were.
Well,
like,
no, the hornet's nest we took care of with the spray, but the bees.
Sorry to cut you off, but if you walked around the back, there was an air vent.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That bees were coming out of. So we're like, oh, there's some bees up there.
So it wasn't a problem. You know, you kind of live by the whole, you don't bother them, they won't bother you, because they're not wasps, they're not hornets, right?
Yeah, they're living happily up there.
Right, exactly. So not going to bother them. But like I said, we took care of the hornet's nest, we bought the sprays, and we had bee spray, or a big can of hornet spray, but you don't need the whole can, just and it's done. You take the hornet's nest off, you're done. So it was the day before we were going to shoot. And we couldn't find the bee's nest. We couldn't find it, but it was by this air, and it wasn't, the vent was an old house. So the vent was a pipe, was a metal pipe. So Regan has been studying insect habits since he was a child. He pretty much, you know, knows how insects work, what to do, what not to do. So if there's anybody that I trust, with what they're doing in regards to bees, it's Regan. So Regan has the bright idea to empty out a can of wasp spray into the vent.
Now, in my own defense, did I know that it wasn't the best idea? Yeah. But I did not foresee
So what happened?
What was going to happen?
And is it, maybe it was a, it's a tad over exaggerated out of fear, but no, I really don't think it was.
It was not
what, no. Black.
No, no, what literally happened is the walls shook
the kitchen
because the entire house was pretty much a fucking bee's comb.
Well, we came
to a honeycomb.
Wow!
Because it, all you heard was.
Yeah, it's the kick. They were all in the roof of the kitchen.
It was like the Exorcist.
The kitchen started vibrating,
and it literally started shaking. And I just chills ran down my spine, and I said, "We need to get the fuck out of here."
It was, I started yelling, "Guys, go! We need to go right now!"
So, and this was like 4 in the morning.
Is all of the air conditioning vents? Were all the covers, you know, those covers that you can sort of open and close, they were all gone. Like, they didn't even exist.
Oh.
So I was assuming all of them would start pouring out of these air conditioning vents.
Emptied out a wasp spray bottle into just one entrance, and they were angry. I was like, Candyman's going to come out. It was, he's going to be like, be my victim. Because it was on the east side, so, you know, it fits.
Like,
you
the
know?
Real Candyman.
Exactly.
Not like the mythical
in a
the
black
real
neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, we're dead. We're done for. We're going to get picked up, you know. And we went back the next day.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And, you know, there was a giant pile of dead bees.
But they were still going. Like, we had killed maybe, like, 5% of them.
And which then was still like 200.
Yeah, it was still a ton, but they were just like, okay, we're good, let's continue. Like, we got back and they were, it was just like the day before. See, my biggest fear was that they would storm in through those AC vents and then we would never get to film for the rest of them. Like, the film, like, we need to do a lot of filming. And I was like, crap, I've ruined it all. We're gonna go, we're not gonna be able to film anymore because it's gonna be full of bees inside.
Faces of death.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, it was, but sure enough,
we get our deposit back though.
We go back the next day, we go back the next day, and the bees were just like, back to work, guys, back to work. And then we're like, okay, no more of that. We're going to leave them alone.
And second answer, bee movie. That movie scared me. It was terrible.
Really?
I never saw it. I'm a bee on Jerry Seinfeld. Go and get the bee stuff.
Yeah, that was the old thing.
I'm a bee.
The movie within a movie was to throw, like, take the bee, the wasp spray with a lighter, ignite the flame, and then the inside of the house would, like, erupt in flames, and then we'd run away from the house and jump in a pool, like, very, like, true.
Mind Girl.
Like, a True Lie style, where you're swimming in water with flames over you, but, like, it's not a real, it's like a kiddie pool. It was just
I like how you went True Lies, and I went My Girl.
The time I was terrified by insects was shortly after or maybe before I had a chicken pox, and so I was at a commission, you know, playing Donkey Kong on ColecoVision from school.
Yeah.
It was either before or after, I can't remember, but what did happen was I was climbing a tree in my front yard, I fell off the branch onto the floor and had the wind knocked out of me, but I fell right into a fire ant mound. Like, just hardcore, blatant, just full-blown Texas fire ants. And they bit the ever-loving fuck out of me at, a young age of, like...
Traumatizing.
Yeah, at 5 or 6 or whatever, however old I was. And, they bit the fuck out of me. And this... And, again, I can't remember... I think it may have been after the chicken pox, because then I had the sensation already of, you know, being itchy everywhere and the bumps and everything. So I think it was afterwards of having, like, now, like, pain, like it wasn't itchy. It was having the ants crawl on me brought back the sensation of the chicken pox, but then getting bit by them. And it was a mound, so it was like total, like, and on top of that, I had the wind knocked out of me. Oh. So it was getting up, like, trying to yell for help or whatever, but I wasn't alone, luckily. Like, I actually had, like, family that saw it happen, so I was immediately rushed inside and thrown in, like, a bath of water, and I was
screaming. I would have been
wailing my ass screaming. Off. Yeah, but as much as I could, having the wind knocked out of me, you know, but throwing in a tub of cold water in there. 5 or 6?
Oh, pobrecito.
Yeah. First grade? No, 7. Oh, yes, whatever.
They give you ice cream, bro?
But that had nothing to do with being sick. I just,
no, no, but like just to make you feel better. Just get my ice cream.
I think I played more Donkey Kong because they're like, you know, it was because what you gotta do.
Sorry.
Yeah. So fire ants, yeah, that's no good. No bueno.
What about you, T-Bone?
Anyone that knows me, if they happen to listen to this, is already laughing because they know what's coming.
Oh, shit.
I don't have a particular story. My life. yeah. I have a really unique allergy to wasps.
Oh. Yeah,
it causes me to thrash violently and run around screaming like a 4-year-old girl.
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
Yeah,
I've seen it. It's quite.
And it doesn't matter what I'm doing when that happens. I have jumped off of moving forklifts at work. I've jumped out of moving vehicles.
No way.
Oh yeah. I've thrown my truck into park at like 20 miles an hour.
Oh God.
Which is not a good thing.
Yeah.
It stopped.
You got the desired effect.
There's been times where we're riding, and you know how you hit like us. Even though bees don't really freak me out as much as wasps do, if there's a bunch of them, that kind of still freaks me out. Anything with a stinger on its ass flies.
Yep.
So we've been driving and had the windows down, and you hit a swarm, and I'm ready to get out of the car. 60 miles an hour, honey, you drive. I'm going to get out right now. So. Yeah, I've had incidents at work. People said, I saw you, I was coming back from lunch and you were like dancing in the parking lot or something. I don't know what was going on. And it was a bee.
What was it? What do you think caused that?
I don't know. My earliest, I don't remember being scared when I was real young.
Yeah.
I know one time we were in Rockport and I got stung like right under my eye.
Ooh.
That'll do it.
But I don't remember being scared then. And so like, the pain of getting stung it's not that bad. I know it.
Yeah.
Rationally,
yeah.
I know
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But I would say fight or flight, but it's all flight.
There's no fight.
There's
when
no
it
fight there. Except maybe accidentally swinging.
But it's weird. It's just, I think it's instinctual. Like, I've gotten stung in my ear first day of football practice ever.
By a bee or wasp?
By a wasp.
Yeah.
My uncle took a cigarette out, spit on it.
Yeah, the tobacco,
it on my ear.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what they put it on my eye.
Like yeah.
I'm supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
It was weird. I don't know why it did that, but it sucked the stinger out.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you know what it's crazy? I'm afraid of wasps too, but for some reason, dad instincts take over way above that, and I'll kill one in my hand.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, and it's kind of like I'll freak out.
Generally,
like,
grab my wife and use her to
shoot. Use her. Yeah. No, it's weird. If the kids aren't around, wasp, watch it. Kids around. All right, y'all all right? And it's weird, and I don't even think twice about it.
Yeah, I think the wasp spray, like the actual like you know, comb killer or whatever. I guess when I first used that. Like, the fear of wasp went away. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you motherfuckers just
go easy.
You know, just die right there. Die.
I kind of have a theory about, like, San Antonio wasps, though. They're more aggressive here than...
They're outnumbered.
Yeah, I've gotten bit by them. Like, I've gotten...
White Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Bees, too. Like, I'm just walking in the parking lot, and they're really? Running into you like they're hungry. I think it's all the sodas and processed food.
Maybe the diabetes.
Yeah, it's the
Mexican killer bees, dude.
That's what it is.
Yeah. No, but wasps are scary because, like, bees are essentially like a Civil War musket fighters. You know, they get like one shot and then they're done. You know, whereas a wasp has like an automatic, like it can just keep stinging.
Is that right?
Yeah, because bees, when they sting you, when they pull out their stinger, gets left in you and it rips their guts out and they die. So they can only sting you once. Whereas a wasp can just keep stinging you over and over and over.
It hurts more, I think.
I don't know. Maybe. Depends.
No. Yeah,
I can't remember the last time.
Yeah, I've only been stung by one each. One wasp, one bee, and then I think the wasp was like pretty bad, but I think like the scorpion bite was worse than those.
Sting, nothing like Nick
Cage.
Did
you get a scorpion bite?
Yeah, I've got a scorpion bite. Yeah, a long time ago.
What the fuck?
Oh, sting. Sting. Yeah. Now, a friend of mine, see, like where I lived, a friend of mine was laying the carpet at the place, and he leaned back and he was like, ow! And I had, like, the room that I used to have was, like, a retrofitted garage. It was made into a room, like, in the 70s. So it was, like, carpet on, like, concrete, basically.
Yeah.
So he leaned back, and he was like, ah. So he thought it was just, like, you know, bad nail or stitch in the carpet. Oof. And he's like, oh, nothing. It must have been a stitch. Ah! ow, god damn it. And he got up and we went to my bathroom and then it was just straight up this fucking scorpion just getting him, bam, 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 bam. And it just nailed the fuck out of him. And it sucked. I felt so bad. I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. But it fucked him up because it was probably pinching him because it was just trying to survive. It was trying to survive. So yeah, that sucks. That wasn't me. So that's not my worst experience. So
that's that dude's.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty funny.
So what about those Facebooks?
Facebook's Brandy Dunnigan says cockroach fell on my face when I was sleeping.
Oh,
that's nice. That.
Yeah, that's happened to me before.
That is terrible.
It sucks. It made me afraid. It made me embarrassed about how dirty my house was.
Yeah.
Everybody in San Antonio has had cockroaches.
Yeah. Judson Cooper says my fear of spiders started when a riding spider crawled across my face and down my shirt when I was about 4 years old. Anytime I walk through a spider web, I usually freak out and run around in circles clawing at my head. Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody does that.
Yeah, that's everybody does that, yeah.
Charles Gomez says, putting on my, quote, yard cutting shoes, I felt a crunch thinking it was just dried leaves or grass, and I started cutting the grass. Felt weird after I started walking in them. Turns out I had squished a big roach.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That happened once. Oh, that was weird. That happened once with a cricket. Long story. I'm not going to go into it. It was weird. Sorry.
I used to kill cockroaches barefoot at the house that we all lived at. Remember that?
That's gross. Samantha Lyons Rick says,
I don't remember you doing that, but yeah.
Every damn time I leave the house since I moved to Texas, the big red wasps with black wings are the worst. They're proof Mother Nature is an a-hole.
Oh, yeah. Man.
They're just flying around. They're just surviving.
No, those are dickheads.
No, they're not.
That is those assholes. Those are like reincarnations of assholes.
Yeah. We're on their turf. Gabriel Diaz says, every summer when 4 to 5 wasp nests appear in my backyard, it's a collective of a-holes.
Yeah,
these red wasps. Poor guys.
Yeah, man. Like, come on, dude. Like, get out of our neighborhood.
Juan Carlos JCP says, woke up with a strange itch on my back. When I went to scratch it, it turned out to be a cockroach.
This sucks, man.
Carlos Castro, here you go. I grew up with tarantulas, scorpions, camel spiders, no problem. It's when I'm in foreign lands thinking, oh, crap, did I just get malaria from that mosquito? Ooh.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, the monster's inside of us. Wham!
But they can't sting steel.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't do.
Mickey Bark, they only get stronger when they suck his blood, though. That's the thing.
Oh, they become man spider, not Spider Man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That human Spider Man you.
Wait, what?
Mickey Barkus says, once a hornet got in my house in the upstairs part. It was chasing me around because hornets are crazy bastards.
We moved.
Yeah, we burned the house down.
I would shriek and swat at it with a pillow, then run away. It chased me down the epic stairs screaming. I fell on the last 2 steps. I finally said, F that, this is my house. I swatted it into the bathroom and saturated it with shaving cream. Nice. Then I probably cackled and thought I was tough. All right, Travis K says, I don't get terrified of them much in real life, but I'm no entomologist. The most I've terrified was in a dream when my junk was attacked by a swarm of, guess what, red wasps.
Yeah.
Oh, that, even in dreams, they're attacking people.
Yeah, you know, you read a dream encyclopedia, and that means that you're going to have a white cake for your birthday.
That's hilarious.
It's like total opposite. Wasp attacking your junk, man.
Yeah, if you're going to sting my dick in a dream,
that means you're going to have a hearty meal for breakfast. If you dream about a white horse, you'll be molested. That's real.
Delilah.
Yeah, no party. Hey, call us in. Let us know what your junk's doing in your dreams. God.
Ross Carter says, once I was stung by a horsefly while on the high diving board at pool. It hurt super bad, and I ran off the board screaming my head off. Of course, the chlorine in the pool made its sting get worse, so I was terrified of horseflies ever since. Luckily, I don't really encounter them here. I was living near Atlanta, Georgia.
Horseflies?
Yeah.
They sting?
They can bite you,
They bite, yeah.
Yeah.
Deer flies, too.
Yeah, they're like
that
big. They hurt.
Yeah. And you just hear them.
And they'll follow you like for miles.
They're a-holes.
Yellow jackets scare the fuck out of me. There are these big cartoon bees chasing you, and I'm like, am I hallucinating?
It's a basketball logo chasing me.
Exactly.
This mascot's real.
Is that like East Central or something? Or
what? Yeah. They're the Hornets.
Oh, the Hornets, yeah.
Stacy Medina says, I was sweeping crickets out of the store and felt something on my leg and realized one had crawled up my pants. I grabbed it and hobbled to the restroom where I took off my pants and shook it out. Ooh. Not terrifying, but gross.
Stop that, Larry. God damn it.
You shook it out?
Yeah.
Watch me, Mayday.
Wow. Ryan Timothy Brace, RTB, says, when I was in sixth grade, I saw that X-Files episode about the killer swarm of bees. For a week, I was terrified that they'd get me wherever I went.
Yeah, fucking bees, man.
Shaggy from Putosam says, a friend got bit by a spider while we were camping after a Grateful Dead show.
Of course.
And thanks to some weird chemicals that the police must have spread in during the air to make the crowd see things, we all freaked out and thought my friend was gonna die. He did.
But when
the evil cop spray wore off, he came back to life and we celebrated his resurrection at the Waffle House. All-star special. So they just hallucinated
that his friend. He thought he was going to die. He did.
They were on drugs and hallucinated his friend died.
Oh, thanks. Jesus.
Brandon Railer says, every time I step out of my house.
Brandon is fucking deathly afraid of anything. Bug. It's so funny.
And Alfred Perez says, I was in third or fourth grade sitting in my underwear playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. It was 6 a.m. Robotech was over and I was chilling before I had to get ready for school. Suddenly, my leg started itching. I heard buzzing around like a fly on the window, still trapped behind some blinds. I looked up and saw a 3 to 4 inch roach trying to dig under my leg with its wings, like trying to squeeze it in there. My brother was right beside me asleep. We shared the room in elementary school days. I screamed right in his face. He screamed back. I launched from my Indian-style position right onto bed as we continued screaming at one another. The roach ran into the hallway. That was when anger took over, and I found it and smashed the living crap out of it. Bro and I still laugh about it to this day. True story.
Yeah, there was a short-lived comic he drew. It was Hefe. It was a giant cockroach.
Oh, nice.
That was, I'm not saying that was the byproduct of that, but I'm guessing that it was.
And Jovita says, Jovita Mega says, in college there was a swarm of African killer bees on campus. So the whole school was put on lockdown. I was stuck in my economics class for a very long and terrifying afternoon. That's when you know it's bad.
I believe it's Africanized.
No, African killer bees. Africanized killer bees.
European bees.
Yeah. I get it.
It's like it's kind of like gentrification, but
the
other way.
Sure. So there you have it, folks. A lot of people being terrified by insects. That's not funny.
It's not.
No, it's not. Not funny. Fuck those roaches. Fuck those bees.
Yeah. I don't trust wasps.
A-hole wasps, apparently.
Yeah, come up to me and fucking sell me your fucking propaganda, man. Like, you know what? I'm Catholic and I'm Latino.
Yeah, I'm a cricket.
All right. So all you Maroon 5 fans out there, man, I hope you all had a great time. I know that we did. T-Bone, thank you so much for joining us. And one more time, where can people follow Urban Beardster and buy your products?
UrbanBeardster.com. You can find us on Facebook at Urban Beardster.
Yeah, follow the Instagram, guys, at Urban Beardster, and your Twitter, at Urban Beardster.
Urban Beardster, yeah. I think on Instagram, it's the Urban Beardster, because some other fucker had it first. So.
That son of a bitch. So you go to that guy's Instagram and tell him, change your fucking name.
Yeah, like, you fucking fake.
Yeah, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you being on, and this is your first time on the podcast, so I'm sure it's quite obvious to you right now that this is an educational program.
Absolutely.
We like to teach the kids, you know, about electric violins and teach them about music and that they can be somebody at one point. But more importantly than the children, we like to teach ourselves. We ask ourselves, our guests, and ourselves, what did we come to know? From everything we talked about, what made you just come to learn something about yourself or maybe even the world? So, Jess, what made you come to learn something?
Well, this episode was a fountain of knowledge with many facts and knowledge and stories, but I think the thing I'm going to take away from this is that what I came to know is that I need to bring it upon myself. I'm not a big believer in, like, New Year's resolutions, but what I am going to dedicate myself to doing is to refill our candy jar with sweets and treats so they're on the ready, because I miss that. I miss some candies laying around.
I miss all of them.
Yeah.
You hogged them all, Jess.
Well, I offered. Hey, yeah, I offered, and then no one, of course, someone's like, I don't want that shit. And then, like, all right, cool, more for me. And then, like, so I need to bring...
Maybe some better candy?
Well, no, just fresher. That's all it is. It's great candy. It's just been sitting there. The Laffy Taffys were just mush, but, I mean, it's Laffy Taffy, so it's good. So I like to make it upon myself. What I came to know is I need to refill this jar with candies, and then I'm going to state it here first, is that I'm going to try to have... domestic candies and international candies that maybe right, that man. We
you
have
said it here first.
Yeah. Toblerone.
Got it on record.
Yeah. So more March candies for the candy jar. Get these. We can replace these fucking candy canes that aren't even fruity. They're just normal peppermint.
What the fuck, man?
No one's going to eat that shit. So I'm going to put some.
Sorry, Jess.
Well, no. These were like the kids gave this to you or something. They just happened to be here. So we're going to put good candies in here, maybe refill. I'm gonna buy more of the Chichimaradas because these are. Oh yeah, you gotta try this.
You have to try the
Chichimarada. Yeah,
tell them where they're from.
They're from Peru.
Yeah, so I've been there. Yeah.
So
is this the blue corn?
Yeah.
Purple corn.
Well, look, there you go. It tastes like the drink. Answer the question.
Nice.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Guys, both in Peru.
So yeah.
1999.
Nice. Last year.
Did it all for the Nookie. So, what I came to know, and it's actually kind of simple, is that Jess was a Cub Scout.
What?
I didn't know Jess was a Cub Scout.
I've mentioned it a few times before, and there's been stories of evolved around Cub Scouts.
Cub Scouts?
Yeah.
Hey, the whole Weeblo thing. Remember we talked about Weeblos for like a whole segment?
Nah, man. There's something going on with the noggin, because that was like, I did not...
It's good.
Yeah. What was it?
What does it taste like? Put some taste to it. What would you describe it as? It's our favorite thing to ask.
Wow. I'm sort of grapey, but maybe it's because of the color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it tastes like the drink, though.
Really? No. To me, it tasted like the drink.
But then again, it's a little diluted because it's been sitting around.
It's been a long time since I've had the drink, though. So, actually,
I'm feeling kind of
I had
grapey.
The drink, but then I had it made into like a pudding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a weird texture thing.
Interesting.
Well...
All right, yeah.
I learned again.
What was the question again?
What did you come to know? Like, what made
tonight?
You...
Tonight? Here?
Yeah.
Yeah,
tonight.
Larry came to know of something that I've repeatedly said before multiple times.
Wow, you came to know that you want candy. Larry came to know something we've talked about.
But this is new. This is... Don't fucking play my candy shit with his bullshit of not knowing that I was a Cub Scout.
I didn't know you were a Cub Scout.
God damn it.
Then why don't you fucking not start a fire?
Genuinely come to know something.
What?
Is that everybody hates WAFs. Everyone thinks WAFs are a-holes.
Absolutely.
I was surprised, too, because all my life people have made fun of me because I'm scared of them.
No, I get the fear they sting, but to everyone, for some reason, people like think they're a-holes. Like, that's just a...
Oh, man, I want to kill them. Like, yeah,
they ruined this country, man. You've never seen Selma?
Larry, we're not talking about white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Isn't the Help?
We're talking about insect
white
wasps.
Guilt is from the wasps. Yeah. Exactly, man.
That's exactly what I say when I spray them with that wasp. They just instantly die. It's satisfying. Fuck you. Just die. Like, oh, yes. It's
the
just...
color purple, man.
Oh, all right, sorry. Well.
I'm a white apologizer. A wasp apologizer.
All right.
So yeah, that's what I came to know.
Yeah,
people think wasps are a-holes.
Yeah.
What did you come to know, T-Bone?
All I heard was touch and come, and I don't know. I kind of got stuck on that, and I can't think of anything else.
Oh. Yeah. And so Larry does to people.
What did I do? I didn't do anything.
It was the way you said it in the intro.
We all learn things, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you come to grips with, you know, a new fact about the world, but maybe yourself that you didn't know before. So after this podcast... You know, it's been pent up, and finally, it made you come to learn something new about the world. Your mind's been open up, and you came to learn something.
Yeah.
Come on, show us what...
Jeez. Come for me.
Jeez.
Jess. Holy shit, Jess. What the hell, man? Wow.
Is there any new information you found out about today?
I like purple corn candy.
Purple corn candy. Yeah. Chichimorada is another hit.
So...
You guys are sick.
I'm not sick.
I'm not sick. I just want to know
it's allergies.
What makes T-Bone come to learn things. Well, Debo, thank you so much.
I'm really phrase.
I'm really excited about Terror Expo this weekend, and yeah, you guys are going to listen to it after it happens.
Oh, fuck.
So make sure you follow Urban Beardster on all social media, and you follow Comedia Gogo. What do we got going on, Jess?
Oh, man, we got actually some big going on right now. As you may have seen or may have not seen.
Yeah, we should start the podcast.
Absolutely.
Talking about.
So Comedia Gogo is celebrating our 14th birthday. That's 14 years of us guys being together, and we decided to take a stab at crowdfunding, which is something we've never done before. So we started a GoFundMe campaign to raise some bucks to get Comedia Gogo a nice big head start for the year 2016. We want to keep the podcast going for y'all guys, and all the older episodes available through web hosting, push the word out to new listeners via advertising, put our movie Get the Hell Out into film festivals, and some public access animation in the future. We want to kind of try to do, if you saw the JT Street animation, we want to do more things like that with other artists, and just basically just give us a nice head start to do some exciting things, and that's what we're doing. So you can get all the details at GoFundMe.com/CAGBDay2016.
C-A-G-G.
C-A-G-D, C-A-G-G-B-Day2016. The link is on our Facebook page. We're putting it on our Twitter page. You can follow me at My Neighbor Jess on Comedia Gogo. Larry, Twitter. You can get at Larry Garza Comic. Regan doesn't really use Twitter, but...
Everyone's. I did today.
You did today. But just follow us individually to get the details, or also just email us at comediaagogo@yahoo.com. And we have lots of really cool rewards that are totally feasible.
What do they get for $100,000? If they give $100,000,
they get 10 sleepovers.
Yeah, we are for $10,000, we're going to have a sleepover.
Yeah. So if they give $100,000,
yeah, you can sleep over.
So like
my
$1 million would be,
you can stay here for.
Or actually, the sleepover. It's not so much 10 sleepovers. It's ups the number of guests allowed at the sleepover.
I'm cool having 10 sleepovers.
Or we can do that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the video at GoFundMe.com/CAGBDay2016. There's a video that illustrates it. We'll be pimping it for a month. We're trying to get $2,000 by February 22nd, and any little bit helps. You know, any little bit donation helps. And so one of the rewards that we're going to give more details on in later episodes to come is you actually have the opportunity to be a sponsor for segments of our show, or be a sponsor for the entire episode, or even be a guest. So if you're a business, or if you're just a cool big fan of the show, you want to be a part of it, or you know, if you're a business, you want to pimp your show, talk about it live, then all the details are on there, and it helps us out to really get this year into gear and bring out some really cool stuff for you guys for the year. So if you liked what you listened to right here at oneofus.net, thanks a bunch for listening. You can get older episodes at comediaagogo.com. There'll be details about our fundraiser there as well. And Comedia Gogo on Facebook, on Twitter, hashtag public access. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for listening, guys. Highly appreciate it.
And guys, please spread the word. You know, we understand not everyone's on Facebook, but everyone has the internet on their phones. Not everyone's on social media, but everyone can listen to the podcast on their phones at oneofus.net and stream it. They don't need an iTunes account. You can do it from anywhere. So more importantly than everything else, more importantly than money, is we want you guys to be entertained. And so please spread the word. Tell people that you think would like it. Tell people outside of Texas. Tell as many people as you can. Have them tune in, guys, because, you know, we just want to be friends. And the money that we're asking for is just to make sure that this goes on forever and we spread the Comedia Agogo gospel. Drink the Kool-Aid, guys. T-Bone, thanks again for joining us. We appreciate everything that you guys do. Please write a review for us on whatever it is you find us on. And
yeah, right. Tell us about how much you like the show, like on a fucking bathroom wall.
Yeah.
Like at a truck stop.
Take
like
a picture and send it to us, man. Yeah,
but not at a Buc-ee's. Have respect to Beavers.
Yeah, don't. Yeah. Wow. Don't. Don't desecrate the beaver, man. Love the pussy. So we appreciate everything you guys do. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
This is Jess.
And we'll...
we'll sting the fuck out of you next time.
Yeah, we'll sting you later.
Here comes the fuck! Here comes the fuck!